Change is in Mr. Dallas Snyder.
Go deep. Good evening, you wonderful people. How is everyone tonight? Last week, I gave a talk on the Big I Am. And I said we were starting in April, all four of the classes will dovetail together. Tonight we're going to do the true self. And you may read those things when you go home, and you'll see that will help you with finding out what we do call the true self that we all have. So before we start that, I would like to tell a story, because this is a class on prosperity and abundance. And I guess before I do that, I should start with a spiritual mind treatment.
Yeah.
I get so excited. There's so much to talk about tonight. So we'll start, as we always do, with a spiritual mind treatment. And when I use that word, spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And here's what I know. I know that I am one. I am one with the only power, the only life, the only intelligence in the universe. And because I am one with this power, I have the capability to create my own reality. And I create my own reality right here and right now. I do that by changing my concepts about myself. I change my attitudes, my beliefs, and my viewpoints, because I realize that that is how I create. So I only allow thoughts that heal, bless, and prosper me into my mind. And because I am able to maintain an attitude of not only gratitude, but of abundance and prosperity, because I am able to see abundance and prosperity everywhere, money comes to me. Prosperity and abundance comes to me. And I open myself to receive from every channel in the universe. I open to it, and I know that I am worthy to receive. And right here and right now, I receive the abundance of the universe. And I let that be so, and so it is. So I'll tell you a story, and I'm going to tell this story for several reasons, and we'll ask questions afterwards. It's a story about prosperity and abundance. And I was out in West Hollywood months ago, and I was looking in a window of out of the closet. And in that window were two beautiful oriental chests. And I thought they were absolutely gorgeous. And I looked at the price, and the price said $800 each. And I said, well, that is a little steep, but I love these chests anyway. So I claimed them in mine. So I went, kept looking. Whenever I was down there, I would look, and they were still there in the window, still there in the window. Finally, they had been reduced to $400 each. I said to myself, well, now that's a little more reasonable, but still, that is not what I want. So I was with a friend the other day, and I was telling her about them, and she said, well, if you don't want them, I want them. And I said, well. So Saturday, I had an errand to go, and I went down there, and there they were in the window with the price tag on them of $400 each. So I, first of all, I had never gone in the store, by the way. I only did this through the window. So I decided I'm going to go into the store and find out about these things. I went into the store, and a young man behind the counter, I said, I'm interested in those two chests that are in the window. He said, oh, they're $200. I said, each? He said, yes. I said, I'll take them. Now, I said, could I also look at them? He said, well, if you can climb by the armoire that's in the window. So, and I did, and I walk in, and here what they were there's silver chests. They're this big, but they're for silver. And the lid opens up, and then there's four drawers and a bottom, a little bottom compartment. They were in absolute mint condition, which I was surprised, because they have reliefs on them of mother of pearl. And usually the weather, the change in weather makes those things pop off. None of them were missing. So anyway, I brought them home, cleaned them up. They're absolutely gorgeous. And I sold the other one to my friend. I said, I don't need two, you know. So, she, of course, she wanted both of them. I said, no. Because she said, you'll never find any place in your house for those. I said, watch me. I found a place and I sold them. I sold the other one to her. Now, when I told that story to somebody, they said, for 800 you got your money back. I said, no, I don't do that. Since I got it, I did it. But when I went down Sunday to pick them up, the owner of the store, the manager, whoever he was there, and he said, oh, are you the one who bought them? And I said, yes, I had my eye on them. And he said, you and a lot of other people. Wow. So the thing is, when you claim something in mind, no one can take it from you. When you claim something in mind, no one can take it from you. They would have sat there and went down to $100, but I wanted them, and I thought about them, and I knew exactly where to put them. And now they're mine. That's how you create things. That's how you create things in your life. I saw it already in my home. I knew that it was mine. As soon as I saw them, a hook goes out from your gut, a feeling, and it hooks them. Once that happens, they have to belong to you. They have to belong to you. Now, the reason why I told that story is to not only to tell you how prosperity and abundance works, but also I want to ask some questions about this. When I told this story right now, how many people took it as a story about prosperity and said, isn't that wonderful? How many people said, oh, he can do it, I can't? How many people thought, oh, he's just blowing his own horn?
I thought, oh, you're using your imagination.
Oh, but I'm always using my imagination. Does anyone remember what imagination is? The key, it's the biggest tool we have in our toolbox.
Oh, I claimed a few things myself while you were saying that story.
Yes, okay. So good. You heard it then the way it was meant to be. When I tell these stories, I don't tell them to put myself higher or that I think that I'm better and I'm able to do this. I tell these stories so that you people are able to do the same thing. Because you always have to remember that this thing that we call God, this thing that we call the universe, this energy that we are working with, does not show favorites. If I can do it, you can do it. And if you go to anyone and they tell you they have a secret and you don't have it, leave that person. Don't do that to yourself.
Well, how does it work when you're trying to retain a client? Because, you know, I'm a real estate agent, so I have buyers and sellers, and you're like, but it's such a competitive field, and in terms of, you know, okay, I'm
that. Did anyone hear what she said?
Yes.
Competitive.
She used the word competitive. This teaching is not has nothing to do with competition. It has only to do with creativity. We are never competing against someone. Why are we never competing against someone?
Because we're all one.
Because we're all one. And God never competes against itself. So you use creativity and you claim those clients as your clients. And if you're in the real estate business, you may have to nursemaid them to keep them your clients. Yeah. But that is the way that one works.
Dallas? If you could illuminate that a little further with regards to the story about the chest, what about the, all the others that wanted it and you got it?
Because they did not claim it.
So it's not competition?
It's not competition.
That you got it and they didn't?
No. It has nothing to do with competition. And they're probably very sad. But they don't know how it works.
Mm-hmm. How do you claim it? Like, what exactly do you do?
When I saw them, I immediately knew that they were mine because my feeling went into it. And I immediately saw them in my home.
Did you make a treatment for them? Or?
No, I don't have to make a treatment for those when I see it. As soon as you see something, it's yours.
I love this, and I can relate. I can even say I've had the experience, but I can't easily own it. It's like when everything's right, it clicks, and so I can peek into what you've shared and have offered me to just, it's just choosing. And I want to be there. And I,
all right.
What's holding me back?
You are holding you back. If you want something, you claim it. If you want anything in life, you claim it. And then you know that it's going to be yours and that you're worthy, deserving, and completely lovable. But you have to do that. And you change your mind about yourself.
Well, what the question is, intellectually, I'm not arguing. I'm
right.
So in agreement, yes, and I love me, I'm wonderful.
Yes.
But there's this, it's like, is it maybe stubborn, like a child having a tantrum almost? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to give up
this.
Yes. Is it, and I hate the old pop thing, like, well, you're more comfortable being unhappy than happy. It's like, right. I'm ready to leave that behind.
All right.
So I'm asking that question. Why is it still held back?
All right. We're going to address that with the true self tonight. We have what we call tracks in our mind, and we have laid those tracks, and the train keeps riding those same tracks. What you have to do is remove a piece of the track, and the train will jump off. Yes. Instead of keep going and going, you have to take a piece of the track away. And the piece of your track to take away is to start believing, and believe in yourself, and say, if it works for him, look at him. What does he have that I don't have? You see, I can't have anything that you don't have. I cannot. It's an impossibility. And you just keep doing that till it works for you. But this teaching works, people. And you have to learn how to work it. Yeah. You have to do it.
Dallas, isn't there another aspect of that, however? I have claimed things in the past and not received them, and then found out later that really wasn't what I should have been claiming.
Yes, because it's always when you claim it, it's for the best of all those concerned,
right.
You see. And you have to add that into the equation always. You can never take anyone's good away from them. You can't do that. That's their good, but you have to know your good. And usually when things don't work for you, you have to know that something better is there for you. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to be there for you. And that has worked in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. certainly worked in your life, didn't it? She just manifested a new home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you did.
And the first one I obsessed over had no view. Right. Second one had a little view of the pool. This one has a huge view of mountains in the equestrian country.
And what did we talk about that?
Projection is protection. That's what did it.
What?
Rejection. I think it's a projection.
Yeah. And you got what you wanted.
Better.
You always. So you're always going to get better. You're always going to get better than you ask for. If those chests did not come to me, something even grander would have come to me. That's what you have to know. That something grander is always on its way to you. Because this thing that we're working with, this mind of God, this energy, knows how to do something better than we know how to do it. And it will always give you something of higher quality. It doesn't say, oh no, now you're getting this piece of junk, you know. It doesn't.
How do you know then when you don't get what you claim and you're still, you know, open and positive and you think, well, I know that I want to do something better for me. How do you know that was the case? Or you can tell yourself, as I might tend to do yet, although I'm working on it, that I would say, see, I think it, but I don't understand it yet. I'm not there yet. I didn't do it right.
No, you're always doing it right. You just have to work on your belief. You have to work on the faith of the whole thing. That's all. We're always doing everything correctly. She had different homes in mind. And she had one particular one, I believe, in mind that you wanted. And when we did treatment work and we worked on that, we did not say that. We said this home or something better. And she got something even better that we couldn't visualize at the time.
It wasn't on the market.
It wasn't on the market. There you go. And there it came. There it came. Tell your story quickly. Yep.
Dallas, it's a long story.
We'll make it short.
Oh. All right, I had done a voice tape with all these cartoon voices and my voice. And I had shopped it around, and I hadn't heard anything because I was just really going for the cartoony voice. And then so I kind of just let it go and thought, well, I'm just not going to have anxiety over it anymore. And lo and behold, I worked for a producer over in Studio City. One of our clients came down and saw it on my desk and said, oh, my God, you do voice. And I said, yeah. And her husband is a huge agent in ICM. So he called me in last week, and then yesterday he signed me.
But that is not the part of the story I wanted her to tell.
I was trying to shorten it.
Well, you shortened it too long. The part where everyone...
Everyone had told me, well, you're never going to get in anywhere. You don't. It's never going to happen to you because you don't know anybody. And you have an all right voice, but you're not connected. And don't think you're ever going to get a huge agent because you're not going to. You're going to start with a teeny one, if even that. I mean, this is all what I heard. And I remember getting so upset, I went to Dallas one day just crying, going, why am I here? Everyone's telling me I'm never going to do it. And Dallas said, Christine, stop believing everyone. And bam, it happened. That is the moral of the story.
Yeah. You see, we believe that things have to be done a certain way because everyone else has done them.
Yeah.
You're not in this class to do things the way the outside world does things. If you want to do the outside world, go ahead. That's stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice. If you understand this teaching and come to these classes, you will be able to manifest things easily, effortlessly, with elegance and under grace. That's the difference between what we call what I call the world outside or race mind and this mind that we're using. That is the complete difference. And it is a belief system. That belief system works that way. This belief system works this way. You must give up the outside world. the master teacher, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said you must die to this world to be born to a different world. That means you must die to all those beliefs that are out there, all that stuff that's going on out there. And know that it doesn't. Oh, you'll never get an agent. Why? Because 10 people told me that it doesn't work that way. That's their belief. That is their belief. You see. You have to... Pardon?
Oh, Moses.
You have to do that. So it's always when we say change your mind, it's change your beliefs. It's change your feelings about everything, and especially your beliefs about yourself. Your beliefs about yourself, that you can't have it, that somebody told you you can't have it, that I don't look right, that I'm not this, that I'm not that, Forget all that stuff. You can do it.
Well, you know, I hear that people want to see you happy and succeed. But then they tell you, you know, whenever you say things to them, whomever they may be, they say the same things that you just repeated.
Because I think
they're
fear.
All failures.
It's all fear. Yes. Because they don't want to see you succeed.
Isn't that true?
Oh, shit. I just ignored them.
Yes. The outside world works on fear. This teaching works on faith. The outside world does not want you to succeed. This teaching wants you to succeed and teaches you how to succeed. The outside world does not want you to succeed because if somebody succeeded, then what would they have? Right. See, you would prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be proved wrong, so they're always going to stick together out there.
However, this class also teaches the other end of that is not to be that person.
Yes.
Which is more to keep in check with your own.
Yes.
Telling somebody else to, they're not going to do that.
Right. And if, you know, you've all seen each other around, and there's class grows and grows, and you've seen people come and people go. You've seen the ones who go. I can tell as soon as I'm here, when I look at their face, that they are not coming back. They are not coming back. So I just love them, bless them, and release them. I don't want them here. I don't want them here. Because they don't add anything. You see, we're talking about energy, and we're talking about thought atmospheres. And we want that to continue here. We don't want somebody coming in and destroying the energy and the atmosphere that's in this room. That makes sense to you? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Tuesday night I went to see a wonderful movie, and I see faces here that went to see this movie. I'm going to talk about the apple in the movie and not the ice cubes.
The ice cubes is good.
For the people who didn't see this, it's a very nice movie. Please go to see it and look at it from a metaphysical point of view and look at the metaphors that were in there and the visualizations that were in there. Here were people so indoctrinated by a faith that they had, a religious faith, that they never even looked at each other. They pretended this, that, and the other thing, because why? They were living with shame and guilt. They were living with shame and guilt. Then they had an accident, a car accident. They went off to another plane where they met a man that called himself Jesus, and he reached in the back of their neck, and he pulled, and out came an apple. You see the significance, the apple? This, the apple is the shame, is the guilt. Now, as soon as that apple was removed, the shame and guilt was removed to those people, they related to each other, they were honest with each other, they were able to talk with each other. It was absolutely wonderful. So think of that and use that in your own life. If you start to feel guilty and you can't do anything, just reach back and take the apple out. Use it. That's using your imagination. That's using it. It was a wonderful thing. I was absolutely thrilled with that.
What's the name of the movie?
Forgiving the Franklins. And
it's only had screening so far. It hasn't gotten distribution yet, so it's not actually released yet. But hopefully soon.
Andy plays the pastor that gives them all the guilt and shame.
Really? Very well.
You may stone him after class.
That's great.
But look at that. When you see it and it's pointed out to you so vividly that's what their whole problem was. The other thing that stuck out in my mind, as soon as that family was different and they lost their shame and guilt, everyone in the church wanted to pull them right back. You see, you have to pull back. The world outside is always pulling you back, always wants to instill something else in you because they do not want you to know. And that's the freedom when you know that you can remove the apple, that you do not have to live with shame and guilt. Therein lies the freedom to be able to do things. So anyway, in the one conversation, the church lady is going on about God and all, and the late Mrs. Franklin, who had the apple removed, she said, "You know, you talk just like an abused woman." Because she was God. She thought God was abusing her all the time because of the suffering. You have to suffer. You have to do this. You have to do that. But we love him anyway. We love God anyway. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I thought that was right on point, you know, the abuse that they were suffering, but they were still loving and still doing. You see, God doesn't want you to suffer or be abused in any way. The only thing God wants for you is good and greater good. You have to remember that. So take that apple away. That apple was given to you by so-called well-meaning people because they also received it when they were children. You see? And we are taught, aren't we, that we're immediately born into sin. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're immediately born into sin. So don't let that rule your life. Open that up. Get rid of it. Just take the apple out and your life will change completely. And you saw it with these people in the movie. Their lives completely changed. Easy, simple. And that's part of this thing when I tell you, use your imagination. It's the greatest gift you have. It's the greatest tool you have. And does anyone remember why imagination works? I gave it to you last week. Why does imagination work for you? Because we live in a mental world, not a physical world. Remember it from last week now? We live in a mental world. You see what happens? Everyone looks around and thinks they live in a physical world. Imagination does not work on the physical world. It produces things in the physical world, but it works in the mental world. And that's why imagination is the greatest tool you have in your toolbox. It's always a mental world we live in. Do not be convinced. Outside world believes that it's a physical world, along with Madonna. But it's not. It's a mental world. Okay? Now, tonight, everyone here realizes that there is something else inside of them. And something else in their life that they can't quite put their finger on, because we have allowed it to almost atrophy. And that is the true self, the self that you really are. So tonight, we're going to bring that out, that true self. And we're going to do it this way. What's really important cannot be delivered through knowledge. It must be felt. It must be felt. That will help you instead of living in your head and all. You must feel things. To really understand something, you must feel it. People are still doing the mental equivalent. Remember how you make a demonstration? With warmth of feeling. You have to feel something. When I saw the chest, I felt something. And I knew right away that I hooked those. I knew I had hooked those. But it's done with feeling. How many times have I told you that the life of the organism is feeling? The life of the organism is feeling. So what I want to do, we're going to turn this on somehow. I want you to just go within a moment. And find what we call the center. You can make it anywhere you want. And you may keep your legs crossed. The energy is still going to go. You know. It doesn't matter. Start to feel inside of yourself a wonderful energy. How many times have I said we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God? We live, move, and have our being in an energy field. That energy is God. And that energy is throughout this room right now. And that energy is also love. So think a moment about your own self and your inner qualities, that inner essence that you truly are. And try to bring that in. Try to build that. And just bring that in. And as you receive that, just take both your hands and put them on your chest and say quietly to yourself, Dallas, I love you, using your name. And feel that. And as you do that, I am going to go walk around the room. And I'm going to touch each one of you. And I'm going to put energy into you. And I'm going to touch you on your head. And I'm going to touch you on your hands. And you'll feel energy coming to you. When you feel that energy coming to you, know that it is taking a piece of the track away. Right? So just think wonderful things about yourself. Find that center. Right, slowly come back. Would anyone like to share? Could everyone feel the energy? Is there anyone here who didn't feel the energy? Could you feel, you couldn't feel any energy?
No, I could, but I wanted to tell you that I didn't feel anything until you went here.
Yeah. It's the energy. We've done this before in different ways. And the only reason why your hands, you're rubbing your hands, is to collect energy. And they do get warm. It's not from friction. It's because you're moving the energy. The energy is here. And you can put it in any place in your body. You can do different things with it. But the whole thing to learn tonight is that here, when you put your hands here, you should be able to absolutely feel in love with yourself. That you actually loved yourself. Right?
Yeah.
You had it. I could see it. And that's what you want to do. You can do that every day. And bring that energy into you. And find that true self. It wants to be loved. And you want to be loved. And you can do that. But you're told that that doesn't happen. You see? But it does happen. And this technique, by the way, is used in many modalities. It's used for healing. In India, it's used a great deal. It's used for all kinds of things. But you can use it. I'm not the only one, yes? Oh, I thought you were. Could you feel anything? Yes. You have to be able to feel it. Carol, did you feel something? Yes.
I was feeling like I was going back to different times in my life where I was feeling really good, you know, where I felt deserved, self-esteem.
Yes.
Where I, you know, from when I was a child, a baby, just jumping here and there through my life, skipping around.
Now you think you can keep it with you?
I think if I am consistent, I can keep it with me.
Yes. Don't listen to the outside world. Don't listen to the outside world. Find that true center. How did you do? You found something, didn't you?
I don't know. That's a real biggie for me.
But something happened.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get overwhelmed when you realize that you really are a loving human being, that you are loved, and that you love that true self inside. Because you have told yourself that you're this, that, ugly, whatever. And it's not true. And the true self knows that.
I started to cry.
Yes, I know. But you had a great deal of energy. I think it's because you had no hair.
And as I was saying, I love me. Something happened that it was like somebody else was telling me this.
Yes.
My mind almost got, like, who's saying, who's talking to me?
You have not been here when we gave out the little things, August, I love you, to do 10 in the morning and 10 at night, till finally the voice will say August, and you'll say what, and it'll say I love you. And you see, it did that for you already. Yeah, because it's there. And the new people that I see don't know to use that. We started out with wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me in the morning three times. And we moved up to 10 times in the morning and 10 times at night using your name, Dallas, I love you, 10 times. And as I tell people, I do it on my fingers so I get the right count. And the more you do that, the more your life will open up, everything will open up for you.
I feel just relieved because I know intellectually that the love I'm looking for is within me, but I didn't have the experience of that. You know, I couldn't feel that. I could sort of feel it sometimes, but not really. You know, but now I feel relieved because I knew it.
Now you felt it.
I had a knowing of it.
We have a knowing of it, and we're taught all, you can read all the books, you can come to these lectures, you can do all that, but you have to really feel this, that it really does exist. People don't write all these books, you know, and tell you all this stuff if it didn't exist. But what happens in the books, though, they don't tell you how to do it. They don't tell you how to really feel it. And the whole idea is to learn to feel it. And you know, I always say that life is an inside job. It's also a do-it-yourself project. No one can live for you. And everything that you want is inside of you. Once you realize that that love is inside of you, you'll stop this desperate thing of running up and down the street trying to find it, because you already have it. Then once you realize that you already have it, people will come into your life, situations will come into your life, money will come into your life, prosperity will come into your life. And it's through this whole thing of recognizing the true self, this essence that is within you, which has nothing to do with the personality. We all have a personality. Personality, we weren't born with a personality. We made our personality, and we can change our personality anytime we wish. We cannot change our essence. Our essence is always going to be with us throughout eternity. All we can do is learn to know more about that essence and let that essence come through, and it will overlay the personality. And we'll overlay the personality.
I've been doing that. I love you. I realize I'm more aware of the. I feel more love from my partner at times where I'm like, wow. And recently we had just gone on vacation and we met at the airport, and all of a sudden I felt this overwhelming sense of love. And from her, it was like incredible, because it was from a distance, and all of a sudden it was like, well, I was present to it. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I love you. It was like a moment of serious. It was awesome, because I was totally aware, and I was in the moment. And those moments don't always come easy. It's like, oh yeah, I love you, you know. But it was a real awesome intimate moment.
Yes, because you open to that
right.
Moment. They are able, with some people, to measure the energy, the love energy that's coming from your heart up to 8 feet away. That is why I tell people to send your spirit ahead of you. Always send your energy. Always send your spirit ahead of you. Why? Because it makes the way clear. If you pave the whole way with love, what is going to happen? Nothing can come but love. It has to come back to you. But we send out hate. We send out all kinds of things. We expect the very worst. We da-da-da-da-da. That's what we're sending out. You have to send out what you wish to receive back. Make sense?
There was a point when I realized that it didn't matter if I could not believe anybody loved me, I never felt love. But when I loved other people, or a cat, or a, you know, whatever, the universe, the day, the sky, then love was my experience.
Yes.
And that was far more important than whether anybody loved me.
Yes. Yes.
And it was this ending.
Yes. It's the outpouring that you get it from. Everyone thinks it's the impouring, that somebody has to pour love over you in order for you to feel it. You feel love by bringing it out of you and throwing it outside of you. And then it's there for you. And everyone is lovable, you say.
Yeah.
can be no other way? Why do you think it can be no other way that everyone is lovable? Because all that we are is God, but we are not all that God is. And that is why that works. But this whole thing, all I was doing in that, in this instant when I was touching you, is just transferring energy. I was just acting as a conduit for the energy that's already here.
That was probably the first time I've ever saw my own essence. And what I just realized is that I can see yours, you know, pretty clearly. Yours or your, you know, anybody. But it's hard for people to see their own, you know.
Because we're taught not to see our own. That's a bad thing, because you'll get stuck on yourself. The same. My whole thing is, go ahead and get stuck on yourself. You know. You have to love yourself. You have to love yourself. Did you have a good experience?
Yes, actually it was very interesting to come up with the... internalize this whole concept of your essence and realize that, you know, I am God. I'm part of God. And therefore, all things are possible.
Yes.
And I mean, there's no reason for any impossible. It just, all things are... And it was just very interesting. And the little touch came, you know, you feel it coming.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Because you can feel my energy.
Yeah.
See, I can put my hand up now. Can you feel this?
I can see you.
It was
very green.
You can feel it.
You got to keep that, though. That's the trick.
Can't you feel that? You can all do this. Put your hands. Now, go in and out. Can't you feel that?
Yeah.
Well, that's the energy you're playing with. And it feels like a rubber band pulling you in and out, does it not?
Yeah.
And it's working in this room right now because this room is filled with energy. You see, we can cut through this energy. I can change the energy in this room. But we're not going to do that right now. We're going to keep the energy the way it is. Stand here a moment for me. Yeah. Put your arm out. Now let me bear down a little bit and hold it. See? Hold, okay. Put your arm down. Put your arm up. I took the energy field away from her.
Give it back.
It'll come right back.
I had that when years ago in San Francisco, this place, Psychic Horizons, where I took a meditation class. I went in the first day and they like wanted to balance your aura. And I was very skeptical. And she danced around me and did her hands and everything. But she got in front of me. I felt like a heavy weight had landed in my lap physically. I was like, oh, okay, well then I won't be so skeptical right now.
But then you can do that. That wasn't a parlor trick. None of this is parlor tricks, by the way. You can make it a parlor trick if you want. But you're actually able. I'm able, and each one of you can learn that. You just take a person's energy from them.
You know, when I went to Sedona on a healing retreat, you would go and you lay there and you do the breathing, and your body vibrates because of the vortex. It's crazy.
Wonderful. All right, my cards. One has just to be oneself. That's my basic message. The moment you accept yourself as you are, all burdens are taken away. They simply disappear. Then life is a sheer joy, a festival of lights. And that's done just by loving yourself. And it takes all this other stuff away from you. All these other little things that you think are important, they're not. This one we talked about, and I don't know if I brought this last week or not. The future is not there waiting for us. We create the future by the power of our imagination. And I talked about that last week. I'll do it for the new people. Many people think that there's a future. There is no future, people. You make the future. The only thing there is the ever-present now. And if you want to move from this now to the next now, you're creating the next now that you're moving into by what you're thinking in this moment. But there is no future. You're making your future as you go. So when you get to a fortune teller and they tell you what your future is, walk out too.
I just wanted to ask if you would read that one more time.
The future is not? The future is not there waiting for us. We create it by the power of imagination. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. Mm-hmm. What is essential is invisible to the eye. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And that's where people get thrown off because they can't see it. I can tell you this room is filled with energy. You can't see it. You have to take my word for it, or you have to know it yourself by feeling the energy in the room. And you just felt that energy in this room. And that energy is always there. That energy is also a healing energy. It's a loving energy. That energy you can make course throughout your body. You can do the same thing that I did. Just put your hand on your head and let the energy come down. Let it go through there. Do it for yourselves. You don't have to wait for somebody else to do things for you. Here is the affirmation for the week. I experience clarity and harmony in all my energy exchanges. You want that again?
Yeah.
I experience clarity and harmony in all my energy exchanges. Now you realize that everything is an energy exchange. Everything. Everything you're doing, you're exchanging energy with people. Especially if you're in bed with them. And that's why so many people get sick and upset and so forth, because they're around the wrong energy. So learn to be in the right thought atmosphere so that you can receive the energy. Because it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.